Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of The Way Podcast. Today we are joined by
Xenia.
And we've got a and we've got a lovely guest.
Hello.
Ellie Lopez.
Hello, hello.
Hello, what's my name? Ellie. Hi.
And we'll be diving into Ellie's story.
Yeah.
Ellie, please tell me, who are you? What do you do?
Let us know.
A little, like,
who am I? I'm Ellie and I am married to Tom. We have two small children, two little boys, and we live in Brighton, UK. But I'm a worship leader, songwriter. I love the church and love people, but it's such a joy to be here with you girls.
Yes, we're so excited. Yeah, obviously, Ellie, you are an incredible worship leader, incredible artist. I guess kind of let's talk a little bit more about, I guess, your music. Like, when did you start writing music? Have you always loved music? Like,
yeah, I guess I never thought I would do what I am actually doing now, honestly. But growing up, my dad's a worship leader too and a songwriter. And I remember as a kid being at home and we had a piano and dad's hymn books would all be like, and song books would be lined up on the piano. And I remember I had piano lessons as a kid and honestly hated it. I was like, no,
did you get just, like, the grades? Were you like grade one?
Oh,
grade
yeah.
Two?
I don't think I even got a grade, honestly. I was so bad.
Love that.
I was just like probably doing like Twinkle Twinkle for about 10 years. But I remember like waiting to finish my piano lesson to then just like mess around on the piano. And I remember sitting there, honestly, like under 10, maybe like six or seven, finding, you know, verses in the Bible, finding hymns and trying to make songs to the verses, to scripture, or to even just nicking dad's lyrics. I was like, I wonder what we could sing to this, these lyrics.
Nice.
But I think that's honestly where I started loving finding melodies. That's where I loved creating music. And again, like, I didn't do that a lot. It wasn't like all the time, but I remember that moment just loving being at the piano, working things out. And then again, like not very good at piano still to this day, but loved singing. I've always loved singing. There's like videos of me as like a 2 year old, like a chubby toddler. I'm talking about rolls upon rolls upon rolls.
Rolling up.
Spinning around like our kitchen, singing songs and praising God. And I think I've just always loved worship. I've always loved singing. Definitely didn't want anyone to hear me sing. Like as I got into my teenage years, I was like, I don't want anyone to hear me sing. Never did like school singing competitions or anything like that. But I remember just being in my room, printing out like Girls Aloud lyrics like putting on my CD and like belting out like Sugar Babes. I'm like, this is my moment.
Yes.
Just loved music and, you know, grew up going to so many different gigs and festivals. But definitely when I was around 17, my love for collaborating like really started with music. Our worship pastor kind of gathered together lots of the songwriters in the church to write for our church. And I don't know why he invited me along. I was 17 at the time, but he was like, oh, just come along and like, be part of these like writing sessions. And again, I'd never written a song. I didn't know how to write a song. But from there, I was like, I learned so much from other people. Like people who were way better, like had written songs upon songs, who knew how to play instruments, who knew how to piece together a song. So from there, I was like, oh, I love this. I love writing songs and with people too. Like, oh, wow, you can like write songs with people and collaborate and learn from one another and other people's revelation and what they're, you know, speaking to God about at the moment. And turn that into a song. Like, that is so beautiful. At the start, we had nothing. And then at the end of the day, we had a song. So, yeah, it's definitely been a journey of, like, confidence, though, of writing songs and knowing that I've got something to bring and something to say. And it's definitely, I say a journey, it's been such a journey of claiming that. Because for so long, I was like, I'm not going anywhere near, like, pursuing music because of fear. Just absolutely terrified to pursue it. Because I didn't know what I could bring or to offer. And I thought, my dad's done that. Great. He's, you know, written some amazing songs. I will do something else. So I studied to become a photographer.
Oh, nice.
And like ran my own photography business for a long time. Thought, great, this is safe. I get to like be at home every night. I get to, you know, kind of pick my people who want to photograph, blah, blah, blah. And then, but I knew deep down, like, I love music. Yeah. But because of fear, I was just like, no. Like, opportunities come, no.
Wow.
But when I was 20 years old, I remember God so clearly spoke to me about doing music. And I was like, honestly, I really hope you don't take me here, Lord. Like, it was a moment when, like, a big kind of worship music context. It was kind of like a worship night in America, and I've been in these sort of environments so many times growing up with my dad being a worship leader, and I was like, but I remember being at the back of this room, and the Lord really clearly spoke to me and said, Els, I'm going to lead you into something like this, but you're not going to write these sort of songs, and these people probably won't come to like your nights or shows or whatever. But just, you have to trust me that this is where I'm leading you. And I'm like, oh, please don't, Lord. Please don't. I'm terrified. I don't want to do this. I'd seen, like, as a kid, like, the pros and cons of, all that it takes, the responsibility and the, from my dad. And I was like, oh, I just don't want to do that. But all because of fear. Like, it was like my desires were like, I would love to, but because fear just like shut things down constantly and zapped any like dream of it.
Right.
And so from then on, I did really have to trust God because I was hopeless, like in my own being, you know, like you can't do anything without God, can you? Well, and so from then on, he really did like open doors and shut doors, open doors, shut doors. And it was just this like real obedience thing of like, is this you? Is this your voice? If so, I will go. And if it's not, like, there's no point. So it's been like, honestly, a journey of that, of just like walking through the doors that he said and then not going through the doors that, you know, he hasn't opened. But now I love it. I like, there's so much joy in like writing songs and leading worship or doing my own tours and knowing that, actually he's really, it's him that has called me into this and pulled me through this. Like, and so now I take it as like, it's you that's, you know, released this song or spoken to me about this or going on tour here. Like, it is all him. It is, it's him that does it, isn't it? All the good things come from the Lord. So it's definitely been a journey of just walking through those doors.
But
I love it. I love singing. I love leading worship. It's such a joy for me now. So I look back, I'm like, wow, all the things that like fear has zapped for me for so long now, I feel like I get to claim that as joy.
Come on.
And I don't. Yeah, it's a constantly like just stepping on fear's head, isn't it?
Yeah.
No more. Yeah, well, I want to enjoy this and like know that this is, it's him that's led me through.
That's incredible, Ellie.
Loved it.
You've mentioned a lot about your dad being worship leader. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, so he was part of a band called, his name's Martin, but he was part of a band called Delirious, and they were a band that toured around the world. And as kids, we would tour with them, going to America every year, and just getting to be in the rooms where, the presence of God would come. So even as a young girl, just experiencing the presence of God from such a young age in these different contexts and scenarios. And so he still does music now. He's still an artist and songwriter. And so I definitely have learned so much from him and how to lead people and how to navigate rooms. And so I feel like I, without me even realizing, I was like a little sponge as a kid, getting just to like take in lots of lots of things, good and bad, but also just lessons too.
Yeah.
That now I'm able to like learn from and do.
And you mentioned a lot about like growing in confidence and like what you feel like God's like really called you into. What has that process like looked like on for you, like stamping your foot on fear and be like, no more, something that God's actually calling me into and to like have joy in? Like, what's that process looked like for you?
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey. It was only a few years ago, I want to say 5 years ago, that God revealed to me that I was living in fear and not in freedom. And that moment for me was like, it was one evening, and I remember being at home and him just basically telling me like, "Oh, it's Els, it's you're not living in freedom, you're living in fear." And for me, that moment was just like so confusing. I was like, no, like surely I am. Like surely, you know, I'm a Christian. I've loved Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 7 years old. I'm, you know, grew up in a Christian family, go to church. Like, I shouldn't be living in fear. How can I be living in fear? Like, this doesn't add up. You know, I grew up in church and knew the verses about, you know, fear. And don't be afraid, don't be afraid, do not be afraid. And then it was then when I was like, oh, I feel angry about this, actually. I feel angry that I've been living in fear for a very long time and I had no idea. And it had become a chameleon in my life where it was just disguising itself in so many different ways and forms that I was oblivious that I was living in fear and would make excuses for it. You know, the voice of fear was so loud in my head that it had become just the normal voice in my head that I got used to. And I would say that fear had become like a roommate in my house that I didn't know was like really there, sort of thing. Like it almost like snuck into my house and it made itself home in my house. It like would take my favorite mug for my cup of tea. It felt like it was wearing my slippers. It felt like it was crept under the floorboards, but wasn't aware of it, you know, the fear in my life. And I remember that evening, just, really angry, really confused, a lot of shame too. I remember feeling a lot of shame, like, ah, like this can't be happening. Like I'm a worship leader and I sing about songs of freedom. And I sing songs about no more fear. And yeah, I'm here living in fear and absolutely bulldozed by it. And what do I do? And I remember my sweet husband, he encouraged me to write out everything I would do if I didn't have fear. And I thought, great. I love a list, first of all. Love a list. Send me a list. Okay, it's probably just a few things. I'll just like note down a few things. And literally to my horror, it was pages and pages of things I would do if I didn't have fear, or things I used to love doing, not even to do, but just as a human, things that, you know, you need to do, want to do. It was just pages and pages of things that I would do if I didn't have fear. I remember just thinking, where do you go from here? Like, okay, like I want to tackle every single one though. Like I don't want to get to the end of my life and still be living in fear. Like, and I remember the Lord actually like, he showed me two pictures of at that time of like little Ellie as like that free, abandoned, little girl with no fear. And I remember him showing me that picture of me and just like, for her sake, we got to get through this. We got to fight this fear. And I remember feeling like that longing, like, I want her to be free. She needs to be free. You know, she's alive and here to be free. Like Jesus died for that little girl to be free. Yet right now I'm living not in freedom. And then he showed me a picture of old, saggy, grey Ellie at the end of my life. And he's like, oh, also, we can't let her get there too and still be full of fear. And that whole thing of fear can like, it can take your whole life. Like if you don't realise you're living in fear or know the voice of fear, like you can live your whole life and dive in fear. Do you know what I mean? Like you can we can.
100%.
It's powerful. It is powerful, but not as powerful as our God, not as powerful as like the Spirit of God who can like wipe it and take it down in an instant.
Right.
Well, for me, it's been definitely a journey of it, of him taking fear out of my life. But I remember he showed me that picture of like, yeah, young Ellie and old Ellie. If like, we got to do this together though. You know, it's not like in my own strength that I'm going to be free, a free old lady. You know, it's actually with him, with the power of God. You know, that's a beautiful verse that says, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. Oh yeah, not in my own strength am I gonna get free of fear. It's not like, as much as I love cleaning, and I love cleaning, this is not gonna get me free.
Yeah.
You know, the coping mechanisms that we have with fear, whether it's running or thing, you know, those things are amazing. Mm. Absolutely, we should have practical things in our life to help us do our day-to-day with fear. But ultimately it is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That brings freedom, is the peace of God that brings freedom, and doing life with the Spirit, you know, walk with him. It is that beautiful verse that also talks about work with me, walk with me, watch how I do it.
Mm.
And it's like, that is, as a Christian and special one full of fear, is like, that is a great route to go down, is to walk with him, work with him, watch how he does it. If you don't know what else to do, like, at least do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think
so good.
It's definitely been a journey of tackling fears with him.
Yeah.
And it's him that has given me strength to tackle fears. It's him that's given me the peace to do things. And so I one by one, I've been ticking off these fears. Even in my 20s, you know, like, there's some things on that list that people be like, why are you fearful of that? I don't know. I don't know why I'm fearful of those little things, those big things, but I'm gonna try and tackle it. I want to cross it off. I don't want to be living in fear my whole life. So it's definitely been a journey of him renewing my mind and giving me strength. And that's not a cute little verse in the Bible where it talks about him renewing our mind. Like, that's a legit thing that he can do. He like made our minds, he made our bodies in the image of God, and he can renew it. He can renew our minds. And like, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
Like, whether that's true for you today, whether you're living the reality of that or days to come, like, he can renew our minds. Mm. And like, that means like, you know, refreshing it, giving us strength in our minds. Mm. And so,
I love that.
Yeah, a journey, I'd say. It's been such a journey, but I think we do have authority over fear. Like, and I think that was such a turning point for me, was realizing I had authority over this, over my mind too, with God, that it can have a really good time, you know, flirting with me, fear, you know, dancing with me and spinning me around. But at the end of the day, like, the Lord has given us like strength, to like tackle it too, you know? Mm. So I'm very grateful for that.
There's so much. First of all, thank you for sharing that. Cause when you were talking, I was thinking of like my younger self as well. And like the two images that God gave you of like younger Ellie and I love saggy Ellie. That is just amazing. But almost like, sometimes you got to fight for your childhood self and you got to fight for your younger self. Yeah. And I think so many of us can almost like go through life, like go through school, go through university and all those stages and not really be aware of the fears that I guess you could pick up along the way of certain things. And I know for myself, like secondary school was a very trying time for me in terms of like all these feelings of fear and anxiety creeping up. And I think if we're not aware of that, we can take those with us and then not know how to deal with it. And I think like when I was thinking about myself and moments where I felt a lot of fear, it's been a lot of me thinking like, oh, this can't be possible. Or like, I'm fearful of stepping out because it just doesn't make any sense. And like you talking about being a photographer to then the Lord being like, actually, no, I think you need to start writing and pursuing music. Like, when you were talking about being younger at the piano and like all these songbooks and like hymn books and you being like, I don't really want to sing like them or compose like them. I just want to do what I want. Like, there's a sense of just freedom of just being able to try things in your own way, in your own style, and not necessarily following structures or patterns, but just the freedom to just create. And I think that's such a childlike thing of just, I just want to do this because I think it's fun. And I think as we get older, sometimes maybe because of society or things that people might tell us, we might think, actually, I need to conform a little bit, or no, I can't be as free. Like, there's a structure, there's a pattern to do things, you know, I've got to do it the way the world tells me. And I think that can almost lead us into moments of fear where it's like, I'm so used to doing things in a conformed way that I just can't step out now. Like, I don't know how to do that. And what you're saying with like, there's so much freedom that the Lord brings. Like, we might think, no, the best way is to conform, but actually, no, the best way is to be renewed. Like, what you're talking about, the renewing of the mind, and how there's so much freedom in that. I don't know. I just really liked the idea of doing things in a set way versus walking with the Lord and him showing you like the endless possibilities of like how to live and like your future. And I think for like anybody listening, like, what would you say to, I guess, how to break out of that cycle? Like, how do you even let the Lord in to renew your mind? Like, what does that mean? And like, how would you even go about that process?
Great question. And I'm still learning, still learning. But I think what I noticed was anxiety, fear was very, it made me think of myself a lot. It was like, you know, fear, it's like constantly thinking about yourself. How's this going to affect me? How's this going to affect me that I can't do that? You know, it's like lots of eyes with fear. And so I remember, being overwhelmed with anxiety. It was just like constantly talking about, I'm just going in circles about myself here. And, you know, just growing up, knowing how powerful worship is, and how, and I'm not talking about just Sunday morning worship. I'm talking just like praising God throughout your day. How when we praise God and we like flip the switch of like not thinking about ourselves, but thinking about God and how good he is and how perfect he is and unshakable and you know, not anxious our God is, you know, I think for me, learning that when I fix my eyes on God instead of myself, like peace would come. And I know that sounds like that's a nice thought, but like try it. Like try it, like praising God in those anxious moments or fearful moments, or like have a go at thanking God for something in your day, or, you know, find something to be grateful about in your day or in that moment, and fix your eyes on God. Like, it is crazy, the simple act of like turning our eyes on Jesus, that it's, you're not looking at yourself in that moment. So I think for me, learning more and more that in those moments or seasons, it's like, oh, just keep thanking God through it all, and like praising him. And whether that's through song, whether that's writing something out, whether that's praying, whether that's reading scripture, like giving him like praise. It's again like a simple thing that we talk about probably in like Christian circles, like praise God, lift him up. It's like, what would that actually look like if we did like on the daily basis, on little moments, or you're really nervous about getting on a bus today or going to that meeting, but it's like, God, thank you that I am alive, that you woke me up again this morning. Thank you, God, that I've got breath in my lungs. I'm nervous about this, I feel anxious about this, but you're with me, and please stay with me as I go into this, you know. Like, I think just acknowledging that he's above it, and like when we do fix our eyes on God, like, it is transformational.
100%.
And so I think, the renewing of your mind thing, I think it's just letting him do the work too. It's like getting vulnerable, it's like being really honest about things, repentance. It's like really letting him into all the spaces of your mind and heart, and letting him do the work, honestly. And it is vulnerable, and you're like, oh, I didn't know about that myself. I'm like, oh gosh, I didn't realize you're like that, Ellie, you thought like that, like, you know. But actually, Lord, would you come in, like, just heal and bring clarity to this. But I think another thing for me was distinguishing the voice of fear and then the voice of God was really And the voice, you know, like your own thought sort of thing for me was like a huge thing that when like a thought would come into my mind, when thoughts would come in, it was like, is this fear speaking or is this truth?
Yeah.
It's like, is this legit or is this just fear chatting to me?
Yeah.
And for so long I'd lived with just the voice of fear being so loud. But actually now like being able to distinguish the voice of fear and being able to like shut it off and to be like, oh, cool, like I know what you're doing. Like you're just wanting me to keep inside my house the whole time, not do this, say no to this, never do that. That actually for me that was so helpful to like distinguish the voice, you know, and just be like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So good.
Very much easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah.
When it's so overwhelming and you can't leave your house. And that was me for so long. Where I couldn't leave my house. I'd be on the floor and didn't know what to do. And so it is very much easier said than done. But you can do it. You can. There's like strength in you that can. So, yeah. Listen to the good voice.
Yeah. That's so good. And like, I just love how you've just like chosen to take that ground back and like chosen to trust God in that fear. And in that, like, you know, not understanding like where it's all come from, but then asking the Lord to like help you process through it and like pull you through it, I suppose. And I just wanted to ask, like, how is that? What does it look like to learn to distinguish between the voice of fear inside my brain and also like hearing God's voice and truth over my life, and how I can like practically step into that?
Yeah. I guess like fear's voice is always negative, isn't it? Is fear like the enemy's voice is like ultimately death, really, and just not good, like nothing good of it. But what, like the Lord's voice, it's like, is so anti that. It's the complete opposite, that it's like his words are always full of life and like purpose, and he wants you to get out of this situation as much as you do, you know, your anxious thoughts or fearfulness. And so I feel like we can just so believe things though, and I did again and again and again. You just like whatever comes in your mind, you think it's the truth, you know, and actually not all of our thoughts are true. Not all of our thought, what we think is true. And I think that's like helpful to know too, that we have our own thoughts that going around that aren't great and they're not always true. But I think just distinguishing that of, is this like the voice of like life and is like encouraging me to like go, you can do this, you can do this. Like little story, like years ago, for a long time I didn't learn to drive because I was so fearful of driving. I just like, I do a few lessons here and there and then just give up, And I remember I'm the eldest of six kids, and all my siblings passed before me, like everyone's passed before, and they would like pick me up from things and drop me off as the oldest sister, and like, yes, that's embarrassing. Like, yes, you can laugh at me. But I remember just like for so long being like, I don't think I'll ever be able to drive. Like this fear of driving is so huge for me. But miraculously, like I managed to pass. And this was like 8 weeks after I had my first baby. So I was like eight week old. wow. And managed to pass my test. But I'd love to say I was so like my fear of driving gone. It had not. Like for a whole year after that, I felt really nervous every time I got in the car.
Right.
And would sometimes get in the car and be like, I can't do it. Get back out. I can't drive. But I remember this one time I had to, I planned to go meet a young person somewhere. It was at the beach and I needed to drive there. And I remember getting in my car. No, sorry. I remember doing my makeup, and being so fearful of getting in my car, thinking like, oh, I can't do this. And anyway, the voice of fear was loud in my voice. No point going, don't even get in the car. You'll probably crash. probably won't even find a parking space. You have to do this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's probably not. Yeah, do you know what? Just stay at home. Why don't you cancel? Then you can reschedule, blah, blah, blah. All like lists and lists of things. Fear, 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 fear. Yeah, yeah, just excuses. And I remember thinking, yeah, probably should. I could ask my husband Tom to drop me off. Like made a whole other plan of like to avoid tackling fear that day. And in that instance, I just asked God what I should do. I remember, yeah, just doing my makeup. I'm like, God, what should I do though? Like in this situation, I should definitely do that more often. I tell you that, just ask God what I should do.
That's great.
And he said, Els, I have not given you the spirit of faith. Sorry, I've not given you the spirit of fear.
Yeah, yeah.
I've given you the spirit of faith.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that moment, I was like, oh, this wasn't you talking just then.
That's okay.
All these negative things, yeah, problem. That wasn't God saving me from this. Mm. It was that was the voice of fear. He's saying, go get it, Els. You've passed. Get in your car.
Yeah.
Like, go. Like, I've given you the spirit of faith. And again, like in that moment, I was literally like filled with courage of like, too right. I'm going to go. You have given me the spirit of faith. Like I'm still quite fearful, but I want to get in the car and go. And so again, like got in the car and like pumped up my seat, put my seatbelt on, put the same song on that I would put on every single time. And I managed to drive there and absolutely fine. But I was like, oh, wow, that's what fear does, though. It stops you from doing things that you need to do, want to do. But knowing that, like, oh, that wasn't the voice of God talking to me, doing my makeup. That was fear talking. So I'd encourage anyone to, like, ask God what you think you should do.
Yeah, yeah, I love that thought. And it kind of links back to what you were talking about, like asking God, like, oh God, what are you saying about this? Or even just knowing him. And there's a scripture, I might be paraphrasing it, so, you know, don't come for me. But it talks about like, we take every thought captive and we submit it underneath the knowledge of Christ. And I think like the knowledge of Christ is knowing who he is. And you can only really take that thought that comes into your brain and be able to assess it next to God if you know who God is and you have that relationship with him, because then you can compare it to like who he is and what he sounds like and even like what does the Bible say about this. And I wanted to ask, like, you talked about how you came to know Jesus when you were seven, like maybe talk to us about that. Like, what was that moment for you? How did you know it was Jesus? Like, how did that all come about?
I know, and seven is so young, isn't it? Like, I meet 7 year olds now, I'm like, are you sure you met me then, Lord? Like, this is so young. Like, I was 7 years old. But it's, yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. I grew up in a Christian family. So, you know, going to church every Sunday. My grandpa was the pastor of our local church. So my cousins would go, all my aunties and uncles. It was such a community church, so beautiful. And I think just from a very young age, I just saw so much of what God can do and who he is and heard so much. Like, I talk about like these same ears that I've got that I can wiggle, by the way.
Oh, fun fact.
Yeah, crazy. These same ears, like, are the same ears that as like little Ellie, like, heard so much. And like these same eyes are the same eyes that I saw God move and heal. And, you know, I remember when I was little, just seeing healings happen. People, like legs. Oh, sorry. Whoopsie.
Come on.
Like legs growing out and people getting out of wheelchairs. And that was kind of like the norm for me of like, oh, yeah, of course God can do that. Like, yeah, that's who he is. Like, he's a healer. Like, that's what he can do. Or like hearing stories of people's marriages being like redemption and that. I'm like, yeah, of course he can do that. Like, that's what he does. That's who he says he is. And so I think from like a young age, just being in rooms in the presence of God, I feel like I did see and hear so much that I had zero doubt of him.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, and in my own life, things that he has done for me, that I was like, from as a little girl, I'm like, I know you're real.
Mm.
I know that you're alive. I've seen it. And so I think For me, God has been so real for so long, such a young age. And it was, when I was seven, I remember going to my room and kneeling down. And I simply asked the prayer of like, oh, Jesus, would you be my friend? Would you be my savior? And yeah, come into my life. And I remember it so clearly, and crying on my own, like in my room. And then that was that. I probably went outside after that, did some hula hooping or something crazy.
As you do.
Hopscotch.
Celebration.
get the chalk out on the floor. But I remember it so vividly. And just loved Jesus since then, and loved him as like my savior, but my friend, like his dear friend to me. And that is a wild thought, isn't it? That, yeah, a king could be your friend, but he can be your friend and walk with you through life, and just knowing the realness of him, yeah, for a very long time. So that decision for me, it was just like, absolutely. But definitely like in my school years, like high school and everything, you know, lots of different questions and people coming at you with like different things. You're like, how do I answer this? How do I, why do you do this? Why don't you do this? I'm like, I don't know why do I not, okay, like help me Lord here. And wisdom. I remember always praying for wisdom as a kid too. Just like, give me wisdom, Lord, please give me wisdom. Wow. Like I want to have wisdom that like whatever comes out my mouth, may it be wise and like from you. Like I don't, when people ask me things, I want to be able to like share wisdom that's going to help someone help. And so I remember just praying for wisdom a lot. And my relationship with Jesus, I guess, is coming up to like 20 years now.
Oh, praise God.
Of like knowing and loving him. So beautiful Jesus.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. That's so wonderful how he just like captivated your little heart from like a young age. And like he's such a good father and friend. And just wanted to ask, like, obviously you're a singer songwriter and you recently released a song called By Fear. And obviously talking about fear and our mental like well-being and all of that, like where did that song come from? You sitting at the piano, like what was it, what was stirring on in your heart, like what was God doing in the process of that song coming to be?
It was very real writing that song. I feel it was the most like song that I was so like, it was such an alive moment for me where I was just like actively like writing these lyrics, like of just speaking straight to fear, almost just like a head on thing of like no more. But it started, I wrote it with a friend, and I remember coming into this writing, I just want to write a song about saying goodbye to fear. I need, like, it has taken so much for me, but so many people I know, family, friends, this generation, so many generations, people are living fear in their 80s, you know, like this has to, we have to have a big old shouting at it, you know, and like no more, like this enough is enough. You cannot no longer like take a hold of us. And so the writing of this song was very much like constantly like stomping and kicking it out. And the whole song talks about fear coming into your house. So the lyrics, I cry, fear, fear, get out of my house. Your time is up. When we're over now, I'll gladly show you to the door. Don't forget your stuff that's on the floor. And that real notion of like, this is an eviction notice to fear. You can get out of here no more. And come in love, you know, welcome peace, welcome. You can make yourself at home here. You can make yourself at home in my heart, in my house. And so it really is like a, I like to call it like an uppercut sort of thing, song of like punching fear in
love
the face. Get out, kicking out the door.
Love that.
It's an eviction notice to fear, like get out no more. You can't live here anymore. But welcoming all the good things of God. And so it is you got to belt it, this song, to take authority over fear in this song of, and I just encourage anyone who like, who listens to it, even after this, or you read the lyrics, like, you have authority over what you're going through, you know, with Jesus, like the Spirit of God, that when you read these lyrics or when you're listening to this song, that I really pray that weight would be lifted off you, and realizing that you can speak to this to get out. It's a song now that's out in the world, but I held it for a long time, but now it's finally here.
And I agree so much with the whole, like, you're not passive to this, or like your fear's not happening to you. Like, you actually have a voice and you have a say. And like you said, like, you can tell it goodbye, like you can leave. And I think when we talk about like being a Christian, or what it means like to, I guess, just walk with Jesus, it's almost like a partnership. Like we're partnering with God in this. And so when I'm going through situations, maybe I'm in school doing exams or whatever it is, it's like, no, actually I can partner with Jesus in this, and we can work together. And actually through his Spirit that lives in me, like, it can give me that boldness to be like, actually, no, I don't need to cower in fear or like feel stuck to this, but I can rise above it.
Wow.
And like, there's just, I don't know, in listening to the song and also listening to what you've said, there's this sense of like ownership. Like, I can take control, like through the power of the Spirit, like I can rise above this feeling. And I think just practically for me, and I don't know if, I mean, what this looks like for you, but some things that I do to like take control or like try to like partner with God in this is like journaling or like even just writing down, let's say like I had a day that I felt like really anxious at the end of the day, I would write down on my notes app or like in a book or whatever, like, okay, where were the moments that made me feel that way? And like almost taking a step back and being, oh, why did I feel that way? Or like, what happened? Or like, oh, okay then. So if that happened, then how can I counteract that? Or like, oh Lord, like, how can you give me the strength so next time I'm in that situation, I won't feel that way again? Yeah. And almost being like, when I'm in those situations again, it's like, oh, I noticed this. Like, I can see what's happening now. I can step over it. So I think like taking a self back and like self-assessing has really helped me a lot. Like, so I don't know for you, like practically what are things that you do in your own life to kind of help you like step over fear?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things, aren't there, that we can do. There's so many practical things, spiritual things that we can do. Like you said, like journey, one amazing tool that we can do. I think one thing that's helped me is in the moment is like acknowledging that I'm feeling anxious at that moment. It's actually like speaking to someone like, I feel anxious today about this, and like getting it out, like not letting it fester. Because it can just grow and grow, can't it? Anxiety and fear, that just becomes like this huge thing. But I've tried to really, like, if I feel anxiety bubbling up, it's like naming it and being like, I think I feel anxious about this today, or I don't even know why I feel anxious, but like, I'm just going to tell someone or write it down.
Giving it no power.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring it to the light.
Yeah.
Bring it to the light, honestly. And it just, the weight of it does like come off. And that is so beautiful. But I think for me, my mum has taught me the power of gratitude. And she would, I remember growing up, and she would literally thank God for everything. I remember her, you know, thanking God that the chicken has defrosted in time for dinner. I remember her thanking God there was a car space outside the doctor's surgery. So, you know, go straight. And she would just thank God about the really little things, but the big things too. And that, like, persistently thanking God for everything. And I think I've learned that as such a powerful tool in my life and in my journey with anxiety, of just thanking God, giving thanks. Beautifully simple, but sometimes our minds can't catch up of like going there. But it's like making that a habit, like making gratitude a habit of thanking God has been huge for me, in amongst the chaos of my mind, like thanking God. Worship, again, such a powerful tool. Like, there'll be times when I couldn't get off my floor at home, or just, yeah, just so many different situations where just like felt like I was drowned out by fear, like drowning in anxiety. And the only thing the only thing I could really say was like, Jesus. I remember being like the dead of night, full of fear and not knowing what to do, but just saying, Jesus, like, Jesus, Jesus. And knowing that his name does have power. And I've, like, I know that, and I know that, and I know that, that even when I couldn't really pray, or I couldn't journal. I couldn't even sometimes switch on music. It was just like, Jesus. And that, the name of Jesus is so powerful and would shift. Like, I remember just things lifting off of me again. So that's another thing. But I think actually for me, being vulnerable with people has been a huge breakthrough for me, is actually talking to people about it. I think in my journey, I kept it hidden for so long that I was struggling and that I was really anxious or really fearful. I remember just keeping it to myself, thinking, no, I won't let anyone know. I'll just keep going and hopefully it'll go. And hopefully, you know, I don't have to worry anyone. I can just keep going and hopefully it'll go. But it's so dangerous when we keep things to ourselves.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, is bringing things into the light. So powerful. Like, the minute I started opening up about what I was going through, it was like, okay, this is the reality. And accountability of that to people checking in. What can I be praying for? Did you get there? What are you, you know, this week, what's the things you're fearful of that we can be, you know, so powerful when we let each other in. Like, good people, you don't have to let everyone know. I'm not saying go shout from the rooftops. Let you just a few of your people know, even one person of like the reality of it. And then I'll never forget my friend's mum. She is a nurse and she goes into people's homes when they're about to pass away, or I don't know what, there's a specific role of nurse that she's called, where she is it palliative? I'm not
palliative
care.
Come on,
there we go.
Well done.
Well done. I got big words. But and she, you know, she goes into like quite dire situations. You know, like she doesn't know what the houses she's going to go into, the room she goes into.
Right.
But she pictures Jesus walking in before her. And wherever she goes, she pictures Jesus literally walking in, going there. And I remember hearing that, like, that is so powerful. And that's the truth, you know, that verse, you know, the Lord himself goes before you. He's behind you, around you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is so cool. Like, that is so cool that he actually does. He goes before us, is beside us wherever we go. And so situations that make you feel anxious, or a meeting, or meeting a friend, or getting the train, or whatever anxiety, the things that anxiety leads you, you know, making you feel fearful about, picture him go before you and walking on the train before you. And like, I'll follow him. He's the great person to follow, you know. I mean, there's so many practical things and spiritual things, which is all in our book too that I wrote with Jane, called Say Goodbye to Anxiety. And Jane shares so many amazing practical spiritual things that have helped her too. But yeah, the book's kind of packed full of like tips and just like keep you going. So yeah, it's all in there too.
Come on, get that book.
Oh,
this is great. So good. Any other thoughts, Michelle?
I guess I was just sort of like wanting to ask, like, did you ever have a moment in your heart, in your mind, just being like, God, like, what if you don't actually like heal me from this? You know, like, how did you wrestle with God if you did with that thought? Because you're like, because you've said multiple times that you've had many moments where you've just been sat on the floor, like crippled with fear, like, how, what was that like?
It's great.
Wrestling with God, with like being like, okay, God, I'm like sat here crying out to you. And I don't know if I, there'll ever be a moment where I'll be like fully over this. Like, what does that look like?
Oh, yeah. Very, very real wrestle with God of, anger and confusion and why, like, can you just heal me now? Like, can you just take this away now? That'd be really great if you could just like, do this now. I want to be free like now. And how many times have we cried out to God about that, of particular situations? But I remember there was this one EP that I would listen to all the time. It's called Praise Before My Breakthrough by Brian and Katie Torwall. And I remember listening to that song called Praise Before My Breakthrough. And like, that was kind of it, of like, before I am free, before I am like healed, like I still don't get this, why I'm like struggling with this and why I'm like wrapped up in this. And I feel shame, I feel guilt, I feel confusion and anger. But that song for me really taught me, like it taught me what to do before my breakthrough. Like it was a teaching song for me of like, like I wouldn't always sing it, but it would be like in my house. I'd let it like fill my house. I was like, I'll praise before my breakthrough till my song becomes my triumph. I will sing because I love you. Like, it's such a beautiful song. Again, I'd recommend listening to that. But in that, music is so powerful that like songs get stuck in your head, and like that song is truth. So the truth got like looped in my head of like, I'll praise before my breakthrough. Well, that's so good. I think that's a good direction that I like to go in. Like I don't want to stay in this pit. Like, and I think that's the thing with fear, is that it's such an active thing that we have to like go against. You know, it's like an active pursuit of like no more. Yeah. And like I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna have a shower and I'm gonna get dressed and I'm gonna, you know, act, being active in your kicking out, you know. So for me, that song was a real like great lesson of I guess that's what we can do in this moment of wrestle or limbo, you know, of it all. But yeah, a lot of tears, a lot of confusion, but I guess that's a good route, is to praise before your breakthrough, which again, that wasn't jolly. It's not like jolly, like woo, prayers before, like jumping around my house. It doesn't always look like that. Praise, you know, can be a quiet whisper of thanks. And so, that's what I'd say.
Oh, Ellie, so thank you so much. You've given us practical tips, scripture. Like, your story is so powerful. And thank you for, like, opening it up and sharing so vulnerably. And we've got so much to learn from it. But, yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode. Make sure to check out Ellie's music, because she's incredible. And bye, fear.
Bye, fear.
See you,
fear. Bye, fear. See you later. Oh, yeah. See you later. See you never. But yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in this episode. Make sure you come back next week for another episode on hearing someone's testimony. But yeah, see you later.